Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Ehsan Koman, Head of Commodities, ESG and Emerging Markets Research for EMEA. It's Friday, 21st of October, 2022. And in this week's podcast, Ehsan will be contextualizing the EU's latest natural gas market management directives. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Hi, Ehsan. Leaders of the 27 European Union countries have met this week for the second time in a fortnight to try and bring down natural gas prices and ease the inflationary pressure. What do the latest proposals entail?
Thank you, Rebecca. So yes, it's been a very busy week indeed for European gas markets. Now, we had the European Commission meet on the 18th of October to delve into the next iterative package of energy measures. And thereafter, on the 20th of October, the leaders of the 27 EU countries met to discuss these in more depth with the intention for them to become actionable. So what's at stake? So the Commission earlier this week came around to proposing the introduction of a dynamic cap on wholesale EU gas prices at the Dutch hub TTF, that's the title, transfer facility. Now, this comes in response to growing pressure by a majority of member states for the Commission to come forward with a proposal in this direction. However, the Commission only sets broad guidelines suggesting that even if the Council adopts it, more technical work would be needed before this market correction mechanism comes into effect. Namely, this should allow for over-the-counter gas trades, not affect EU's security of gas supplies and intra-EU flows, and not lead to any increase in gas consumption, and not affect, of course, the stability and orderly functioning of the energy directive markets. Now, the Commission, which itself had serious reservations over the feasibility of a price cap, is seeking a mandate from the Council along these parameters, significantly restricting the scope and nature of the measures to prevent it having any adverse effects. So Rebecca, digging into the details of this dynamic cap. So a dynamic cap sets above prices in competing markets, which is designed to ensure that Europe remains very competitive vis-a-vis other major importing regions such as East Asia. And by intervening on EU wholesale prices rather than prices of imports, the Commission also hopes to reduce the risk of Gazprom in terms of its response, or a potential response rather, by further restricting supplies to the EU, notably via Ukraine, as Russia has repeatedly indicated it may do so. Now, critically, introducing price corridors with other European hubs should preserve the functioning of intra-EU markets, and the Commission is making clear any cap should be high enough not to encourage higher demand for gas at the time when Europe, of course, is striving to reduce consumption. Most importantly, the Commission has signaled that the mechanism would be intended as a last resort measure to be triggered only in an emergency, likely a way to get reluctant member states such as Netherlands on board. And it would also most likely be on a temporary basis until the new gas index the Commission is proposing to complement TTF is launched, with the intention of this happening in March 2023.
Thanks, Ehsan. So clearly a complex situation with plenty on the table. Is there unity amongst the member states, and what other measures, if any, have been announced?
So Rebecca, in terms of popularity, well, there is a majority in the Council, at least 15 members, that broadly are in favour of the measure, suggesting that something along these lines will likely be agreed on balance. Now, under Article 122 of the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union, only a qualified majority voting is required, and the public pressure to stem higher energy prices is steadily increasing, and the Commission is no longer standing in the way, subject to the condition just mentioned. And so an in-principle agreement is the direction of travel, but given the range of views in the Council on the subject, even amongst proponents of the cap, and the significant technical challenges it poses, it's unlikely that the specifics will be worked out quite quickly, or that the mechanism will indeed be made operational in the near future. Alternatively, the next opportunity for a decision by the Council would be the next meeting of the EU energy ministers next week, that's on the 25th of October, but it's possible another emergency meeting could indeed be scheduled for next month in November. Now, Rebecca, in terms of your point about other measures. So while the dynamic cap is garnering most of the attention, the new commission package includes a swathe of proposals that are no less important. Let me just highlight some of the most important here. First, mandatory but not limited recourse to joint EU gas markets to help refill storage is being discussed. So this effectively means that member states will be required to source a portion of their gas needs via joint procurement, equivalent to around 15% of their estimated storage needs in 2023 in a bid to essentially build gas reserves. Second, we've got solidarity agreements that have been discussed. So this would require member states to introduce long-awaited solidarity mechanisms in the event of gas shortages this winter, noting that currently only 6 out of the 40 bilateral solidarity agreements are in place. Third, a new gas benchmark that has been discussed. So we had mentioned this earlier, that the Commission is suggesting to set up a new EU-wide benchmark, that is the Dutch TTF, to which most EU gas contracts are now indexed, is located in the Netherlands and mainly reflects pipeline prices in northwestern Europe that has been trading at a premium with other EU benchmarks. And now the new benchmark the Commission wants to launch in the spring of next year would initially complement rather than replace the TTF, and it would be up to the market participants to eventually adopt it as a reference for indexing. And fourth and finally, Rebecca, there are efforts to improve market liquidity in energy markets and therefore limit price spikes. And these include easing margin limits and collateral requirements for energy companies, instituting intraday price spike caps, and the creation of a separate benchmark for LNG.
And finally, you've been discussing with me about the complexities of the dynamic system of the cross-border gas network. Can you elaborate on what is at stake?
Thanks, Rebecca. So yes, the challenge at a high level is that European sovereign governments have negligible control over gas supplies stored in gas reserves. That is, only around 10% of the gas in storage facilities on aggregate is under the explicit control of public officials through national strategic reserves, according to data from Bloomberg, with the rest in the hands of international trading companies, utilities, and industrial groups, all of which are free to sell to the highest bidder, even its cross-border to another country. Now, just to put this into context, Rebecca, the region's gas network is supposed to work by allowing supplies to flow between markets. As long as there's enough gas in the system, it should balance out. Yet, and critically, it has never been tested under a scenario like the current crisis that we're dealing with today. And a large degree of this will depend on the severity of this winter, as if it's a colder than normal winter, then this could trigger a run on gas through a scramble of supplies. And so we view words such as hoarding and solidarity will be increasingly used over the winter should we get a long cold snap in the weather. Now, to avoid supply risk in the scenario of a cold winter, then governments could instigate their emergency levers in place. For example, Germany's Federal Network Agency, like other national authorities, says it would have the power to order whether gas remains in storage or gets taken out. So clearly a clampdown could leave some countries facing shortages, given the cross-border nature of the gas network. Indeed, some context here. France and Germany, as the two largest European countries, are dependent on others, given its storage covers only around 30% of annual demand for each of these countries. So overall, Rebecca, if the system works, prices rise where demand is most acute. And as flows shift to higher price markets, then rates in countries where gas reserves are being drawn down should rise in response. So this will be an important test on market efficiency. And the energy crisis has prompted a deeper look into storage, and some nations have indeed voiced the need to expand capacity to cope with future energy crunches.
Thank you very much, Essam.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.